So what's the solution?
Well, I'm going to find out. Here's Roger Blake. Hiya, Roger.
Good evening.
Hiya. Well, Roger, you're very upbeat. You sound very upbeat. Infrastructure director and spokesperson at Rail Future. And I think I've talked to you before, Roger, because you're that group that promotes better rail services for passengers and, more importantly, freight. Not more importantly, but as importantly, freight there as well. But this situation, re-overcrowding, how do they get away with it?
Well, it is a long-term challenge, and our role as an independent campaigning organisation is to continue to pressure the DfT and the train operators to work on particular solutions so that the crowding levels over time come down. And that is partly through ordering new trains so we can have more services, longer trains, more carriages. It means better signalling, better tracks so the trains run more reliably. And in particular, when it comes to the train operators, and I'm delighted to hear the story about the bananas, that's fantastic, a ruthless focus front and centre on customer service. That's numbers 1, 2 and 3 on the list of priorities, because this is a retail customer-focused business. It may be heavily engineering-based, but, you know, you're dealing with a lot of people many of whom do have choices.
Yes.
And on balance, they would prefer to use the train because guess what? They can stay on their smartphone, they can have a nap, all the sorts of things you should not really be doing when you're driving.
And it's probably quicker. But could I just say this? You talk about driving. I'd feel safer in my car, my friend, because if I was standing on a train in these days of health and safety, what's this standing business? Nobody's buckled in on a seat. You know, people are allowed to stand. You'd be like eggs in a box if you hit anything there. Yeah. Absolutely no chance. I really don't understand how, in this day and age, when everyone's so safety conscious, that they get away with allowing people to stand on a train that's going, what, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour?
Especially kids as well, I have to say. It's my absolute bugbear when people don't let kids sit down. Because if you've got 30, 40 people standing in a carriage and the train breaks suddenly and there's a child standing, who's going to take the impact the worst? The smallest person, the child.
With all due respect, my hips wouldn't stand an impact. So when I sit there
these are all perfectly fair points.
Yes.
Perfectly fair points. And being in London, I am very aware of TfL's current travel kind notion. We just need to be more considerate of each other. And in this hot weather, we're all challenged, but fundamentally, we have to, stay calm, heads down in the rail industry and fix the problems which we undoubtedly have. And that means keeping investing in the new trains, in the new signalling, in the modern track, so that we drive down this crowding problem so that there is more and more chance of getting a seat. Or if you do have to stand, at least we don't breach the 20-minute guideline standard.
I don't really understand either why people in this country want a Victorian train service and structure, or sort of put up with it, and object to things like HS2.
Well, some people have described HS2 as just like lines 5 and 6 of the West Coast Main Line, because there are people who remember when the West Coast Main Line was last upgraded, and it was extremely disruptive. Now, whatever one thinks about the cost and all the rest of HS2, it is an illustration of the way we need to grow the national rail network capacity. There was a lot of fuss because I was involved in it in the days of what we now call HS1, Channel Tunnel Rail Link. I don't think there's anybody around now that's suggesting it should be shut and dug up.
Roger, let me say something here.
Again, yes.
The other day at 7:25 peak time, I caught the train from Oxford to Marylebone.
AM or PM?
AM.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have to say, this is where I like discretion. Our train was packed. There were people standing in the aisles. And the conductor announced very gently and politely, saying she had declassified the business zone so that people could come and sit in there. And you know what? That was the first time in a long time that I'd heard some common sense, and everybody applauded her.
I wouldn't think that's common sense. If I'd paid
top whack.
Well, you don't want people standing there. That's a really nice thing to do.
What? So they're getting sitting there for £5 and you
paid... I didn't mind. I wanted people to sit there.
That doesn't make it right.
No, but I think more people, more first class carriages should be declassified when they're in this sort of weather.
And you can always claim a refund as well. Roger, can I ask, is there... It's all very well talking about more trains for commuters, and this is a problem going into London, because I think a lot more people living in London either work at home or they've moved out of London because they can no longer afford the house prices. So this has been capitulated by people coming into London. Is there more money for more trains? It's all very well saying, well, we need more trains, we need more services, but if the money's not there, that's not a solution.
But everything's privatised,
is it
though?
There?
It's privatised.
Is it there, though? Yeah, but even the privatisation's
It's a whole combination of different sources of money. I mean, the government, you know, we as taxpayers via the Treasury are putting in very significant sums of money to invest in the infrastructure and running the railway on a daily basis. And the train operators and the rolling stock companies are investing hugely in fleets and fleets and fleets of new trains. Now, you mentioned the declassified first class, the Thameslink trains, which are more and more coming into service, very long, high capacity. They have a first class section at each end, and more people are cottoning onto the fact that if you travel in the rear one, that's declassified. Mm. They've recognised that they actually don't need that much first class accommodation, so routinely, I think it's right in saying.
And there's nothing fancy on those trains. I travelled out of Brighton in one of those, and I looked and I thought, so this is first class. That was basic. Yeah. It did have a nice toilet, though.
Give you a bit more leg room, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But I just think, again, whether you're an air traveller or a train traveller, you let these companies grind you down and you accept less for more.
Yes,
that's
of course. They try and get as much as they can out of you. Yeah. And very interestingly enough, Roger, those new Thameslink trains, which I travel on to get to work here, are air conditioned. So they are very cool. Yes.
Mine was.
But they've been designed with more space for standing.
Yes.
And they can say, well, it's not legal to have so many people standing, but the rail authorities are not working on getting more trains on the track. They are working on getting trains on the track that accommodate more people. So if you think standing is going to be a thing of the past by bringing in new trains, you're wrong. The new trains have just got more space to stand and seats more closely packed together.
Now, you make some very fair points. I have to tell you that 5 years ago, I was very privileged to go to Kassel in Germany to see the first full-size mock-up of the new Thameslink train, myself and a whole group of rail users and passenger bodies.
Well, I'm objecting already. Why is it built in Germany?
We made a number of comments, not many of which were responded to. The Thameslink train is actually, I think I'm right in saying, a DfT specified train.
A German train.
Well, it's built by a German company, Siemens,
Yeah, well, that's a disgrace.
Yeah. So there are a lot of things which we're still not getting right. There's no point in hiding. The industry in some respects doesn't do itself any favours because it still seems to be quite good at shooting own goals.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes the shine off where we do things well. I mean, we went through absolute trauma with the rebuilding of London Bridge Station. I think now it's as good as finished. People are quite glad of the extra space and the airiness and so on and so forth. And, you know, more and more London Termini and plenty of big stations outside London. I mean, Glasgow, Queen Street is being worked on as we speak. Derby, Liverpool, Lime Street. There are plenty of other stations which are being improved because they need to handle more people, just like the London Termini, because that's an issue just as much as
of course.
Trains.
And Roger, it's great hearing this from you because so often it's just the negative stuff that we hear.
Well, it's not to say there isn't plenty of negative around, Eamon, but we're called Rail Future for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's totally understandable that, you know, people say, hang on a minute, what about Rail Present, mate? It's not good in the here and now. But, you know, we have to engage in the longer term and look for opportunities to engage with the franchising process. We've got the Southeastern franchise, which is going to be ordering more new trains on the Southeastern network.
Do these trains have aircon? It's a simple question, because yes. So many people are talking about how hot they are, how awful they are in this present weather. So what about that sort of little addition?
Well, you would have thought that we should have been doing heating, ventilation and air conditioning for long enough that we would be getting that right by now.
Yeah.
I mean, I can travel on different trains on different adjacent lines, and one train in this weather, do you know what? I'm near freezing. And the next one I get into, nothing's working.
I've had that experience. I was freezing today on my train.
So this is, I'm afraid to say, another example where the industry is sometimes quite good at shooting itself in the foot.
Well, Roger, I've got to shoot you here and now and say goodbye because we're now, we're terminating. We're terminating. Is that the terminology they use, Roger?
Or you could have said you've come to the end of your track.
Well,
to the end of the track.
Okay, we're terminating. That's it. Roger is the infrastructure director and spokesperson at Rail Future, and that group promotes better rail services for passengers and freight.